Call to order our executive committee meeting. In attendance are council members Bell, Patrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Powers, Hollins, Smiley, Weiner, Cartier, and Diller. And our legislative aide, Anthony DeForest. Need approval on the minutes of April 1st, 2013 meeting.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We will move according to the agenda. Councilmember Kilpatrick has a candidate for the County Employees Retirement System Board of Trustees. Before she presents, Councilmember Retta has joined us. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have Terry Stone here today, who is a constituent of mine, who has been interested in coming onto a county board. He's retired. Anything that he could do to help, he would be willing to do. Through the last administration, we were looking at placing him on a board, and as we went through the election and all of the nominations kind of fell off, and we didn't get to do that. So as we came into this administration, understanding that there were some board openings and believing that those board openings should be filled, Jim Boyle and I talked to see where I thought we might be able to fit Mr. Stone in. Pension Board obviously has had some issues, has had some resignations, and it is our nomination, and I believe that they needed a Republican. So that's where we came from, even though Mr. Smiley probably is not real happy about this, if I can look on his face. So as of today, I'm understanding that the administration now has some questions about whether or not he should be placed on that board because of his background and not having a degree in finance. So I don't know exactly where we should go on this, if we would like Mr. Stone to come up and talk about his employment history, his education, and then we can have a discussion with the administration and see what they believe their concerns are, and if we can.
What is the will of the council?
I'd like to make a motion.
Mr. Redd.
I'd like to make a motion on what Councilwoman Kilpatrick says. Bring the applicant in, and then we can discuss it here.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Someone please bring in Mr.
He's here.
Mr. Here. How you doing, sir?
Very fine.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We can just take a chair at the seat at the head of the table.
Mr. Smiley, if it makes you feel any better, my parents were Democrats.
Let me tell you what. Does that make you feel better? Putting you in a position dealing with our money, I'm glad you're a Republican.
It's only because he had a snotty face when I said
that. Oh, jeez.
Councilmember Kilpatrick, could you introduce our guest, please, council?
Yes. I think you all have a copy of his resume. This is Terry Stone. He lives in the development of Bridleshire in Newark. And if you would like to just give us a brief kind of history of your background, and then we'll go from there. And I have to say that I have apologized to Mr. Stone, that I felt that if the administration had an issue with this, the courteous thing would have been to call me ahead of time and let us have that discussion. But it is what it is, and we're
Janet,
here now.
Said,
so
it's not
so
a problem.
We're going forward. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you. To the council, my name is Terry Stone. As you've already been informed, I've been a resident of Newcastle County for 13 years, coming here from the state of Alabama, prior to which New Jersey and so on and so forth. I'm a graduate originally from the state of New York, Western New York, graduate, and I like to be specific about that. I'm not from New York City. I'm a graduate of the State University of New York at Brockport. My degree was in business administration with a background specifically in labor relations, and I spent almost 37 years with two different organizations, first with Union Carbide, and then in 1990 from Union Carbide I changed to ICI Americas, that went from ICI Americas to Zeneca to I was part of the agricultural division that divested from Zeneca in 99 and merged with Novartis to become Syngenta. At the time of the demerger and subsequent merger, I had the privilege of creating the platform for Zeneca Ag's benefits forum that included the pensions for that group. So I have had some experience in working with pensions, both under Union Carbide, because we were first after the an incident that I won't go into. Fell apart and many of its organizations were sold off, and the organization I was with had to create its own benefits as well, and I was the one selected to create that platform. So in two different parts of my career, I've had the opportunity to work with pensions and other benefits. If there's any questions, hopefully that gives you an understanding of myself and how I came to be here. I do believe in volunteerism, as did my family. So I'm open to anything that I can help the Newcastle County with, whether it be this board or another.
Mr. Retta and Mr. Hollins.
Thank you. Mr. Stone, when you mentioned that you're on the pension boards and labor relations, let's take the labor relations first.
Yes, sir.
What part of that did you, on the labor relations, did you negotiate or?
I was the chief negotiator for basically 20 plus years for Union Carbide and for, I'm sorry?
In what aspect? In what
part? Oh, I was on the company side.
Okay. Was that had to do with money or anything?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. The other is when you were on the pension board, were you involved in any of the investments or watching the monies or anything?
Correct you there. I was not on the pension board. I was still part of the organization that had to work with organizations such as Cowers Perrin to create a new platform or a new benefit plan package, which included pensions. I was not on a board, though.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I just want to also join Councilwoman Kilpatrick to apologize to Mr. Stone for this awkward sort of interview here.
It's okay.
It's not okay to me. It just seems to me that our process of work is so anyone who's coming before this body should not come with carrying that kind of, have to carry that kind of burden to come here to be considered. I think that should be done beforehand. I think it's just a matter of fairness. It's not the way we normally do business. And secondly, Councilman Kilpatrick mentioned a degree in finance is part of the issue. Does everyone on this board have a degree in finance? Is that a requirement? I just think that we should be fair across the board. And if we're going to institute a change, then that needs to be noticed as well.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
We went with Jim mostly. We discussed what was required of being on the pension board, and Jim met with Marcus Henry and someone else. Maybe, can I do Jim as a lifeline?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I met Marcus Henry and Michael Bowser.
Okay, and Michael Bowser to talk about this nomination and to talk about Jim's reading and interpretation, because there are some very clear criteria about who needs to be on this board. And as they went through and figured out the number of people and the different criteria and kind of the citizen, they came up with a determination that this was an appropriate nomination.
So according to the staff here, the Mr. Stoner meets the criteria.
Correct.
However, the administration has issue with the criteria.
That is my understanding. That is
a decision related to Mr. Stone.
And that's my understanding.
That's what I think.
Yes, that's my understanding.
That is, in fact, the problem. Either we need to get it straight or in terms of making these nominations, or, in fact, if there is an issue, they need to come forward before the candidate gets here. That's my only point.
That would be my point, exactly. But if you would like, Mr. Grimaldi is here, if we have questions, I would imagine we could ask him why the administration has problems.
If there are questions Mr. Grimaldi, please, at this time, questions. Mr. Weiner?
No, I don't have questions for Mr. Grimaldi. I just wanted to make my normal comment that I do to our board members, and just to say that should you be approved by this body, I hope that you'll take the time to become familiar with both the procedures and the applicable substantive law, and don't hesitate to ask the law department or the attorney from the law department assigned to the pension board to provide you the opportunity to become familiar with the substantive and procedural law.
I would be happy to do so.
Great, thank you.
Councilmember Street has joined us. Councilmember Smiley?
I just want to say, I apologize for leaving the room. I went to get my book on boards and commissions. And, you know, there's currently three vacancies.
Correct.
So there's a vacancy. It says in order that two citizens must be in a bank or investment security business. So we still have two vacancies. We still have a person on there. So I don't see the problem here. Looking at your background, I think you're more than capable. I've attended enough of the pension board meetings. I think you'll fit in. I have no doubt you can adapt. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't have a finance background. I'm not ashamed of that. However, I was elected as a treasurer of a union, and there's no more greater scrutiny fiscally than that. And I did the taxes, the budgets, the payroll. I did it all. 7 years, and much to some people's current displeasure, I'm sure, I was never indicted or investigated. I was just audited and got a clean bill of health from Washington and everywhere else. My point being, you can learn. You can do things. I've been at his pension board, and they're constantly evolving. They're constantly getting educational material, and they're constantly growing and going to seminars and things. So I think, and quite honestly, if anyone has a problem with someone that we're bringing forward, then they have an obligation to do it before they come before us. They don't. Chance missed. I'm sorry. I know in the past 8 years, there have been appointments that I've been unaware of from the exec side that I've had concern with, appointments from fellow members of council I've had concern with. I have given both the council member and the applicant and the exec office the courtesy of letting them know in advance. And I've never done what's going on here today. I have, as council members here know, voted no, but I've never spoken against the individual out of respect for this process. And this is a setback today that we need to move past. And hopefully in the future, the communications will be there. But I don't, again, I've only been here 8 years. I've only been going through our rules for 8 years. We still have two vacancies. I don't think there's an issue here.
Mr. Hollins and Mr. Street.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have not spoken to anyone from the administration, and you offered us the opportunity to question Mr. Grimaldi. I don't want to question Mr. Grimaldi. If he would like to add something, that's perfectly fine with me. However, I will support the recommendation of the councilwoman who is, in fact, sponsoring this particular candidate.
Mr. Street?
Y'all got to fighting and I wasn't here.
You were in our hearts.
Things have changed. Mr. Street?
That was it.
He felt left out.
No for the record.
Yeah, he felt left out.
He's no for the record.
Well, wait a minute. Did he go to Christina's school? Did
on the comment. I tried to help you. Any other questions for Mr. Stone?
No.
Any questions for Mr. Stone? Mr. Powers?
I guess I'm just trying to figure out exactly, what does the administration I'd like to hear what they have to say.
Grimaldi.
CEO David Grimaldi. Just procedurally, would you like me to speak afterwards? I was assuming that that's what you guys wanted.
No.
Well,
now? Speak
now.
Okay.
Speak now, yeah.
All right, so you've got a $400 million pension fund comprised of mostly employees and union representatives. So and that is by code. So the other members, it is extremely important that they have some sort of financial background. The pension fund is in terrible shape. We have $400 million of market value of securities and future liabilities of $700 million if you value this thing the way the private sector does. That's $300 million shortfall. Okay, very few pension funds are comprised this way. If you look at the state of Delaware, it's all who's who from the banking or investment community. I think that he can be a great candidate for many other boards. But I think, given what's gone on in this pension fund over the last few years, with all the pension giveaways that went through under the Coons administration, okay, that impaired the pension fund, then you had the market crash that they never recovered from, now you're in a situation where this pension fund is severely, severely underfunded. And we need all the talent in the world that we can get on that pension fund. I have no dog in this fight. I'll never collect a pension. This is on behalf of the employees, the unions, and the people that work for us. I think we owe them real professional expertise on that board.
Thank you. Thank you. Anything else on this issue, Council? Council Lee, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, anything else?
No, I guess just one comment, and this has nothing to do with the nomination, that over the years that I've been here, and I'm, you know, much longer for many of the others, we've been briefed on the pension and what we put into the pension and where we are nationally with our pension board, and we have never heard the dire circumstances that we're hearing today. So I guess my suggestion to Mr. Smiley and Mr. Cartier would be that maybe we need to have this discussion in finance and have a briefing again with the consultant and bring them in with the administration and let them haggle it out, because I just don't know that I would have never guessed that we were in as dire straits as what Mr. Grimaldi is telling us today from all of the briefings that we have had over the past years.
If I'm the CEO, David, if you look at the history of the pension fund went from about 120% funded when Tom Gordon left office to about 74% funded today. There are new rules that are coming forth that are going to require public pension funds to value these things the way the private sector does. If you do that, this pension fund is more like 54% funded. It is in dire straits, I can assure you of that. So I just want to leave that now.
Mr. Smiley, then Mr. Cartier.
Yeah, and I've been following this, and basically Mr. Morley is right in that it's the change in the rules that will make it appear much more drastic than it is. For instance, let's say, and I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, that it was an accepted practice to anticipate a return of 7.25%. They're now saying, no, now it's an accepted of 5.7%. So those changes will make all of the pension funds visually less with a less solid foundation than they have right now.
But when we had that discussion at one briefing,
yeah,
we talked about that it's not just us that's going to look different, but nationally everybody is going to look different because of the change,
and
correct?
We will be happy to put that together. I would just ask for some indulgence to let me attend the next pension board meeting and put it out to them, since they're in a bit of a disarray now, and bringing on some more advisors, as you're aware.
Right.
You know, one left, they'll be hiring another.
Right.
So I would just ask them, I will attend the next pension board meeting, discuss with them, I have no problem placing it on. I just want to find out from them who they think should be here,
mm-hmm,
right? Who they're going to have on board,
mm-hmm,
so that when we post the notice, we make sure we have all of the necessary information in order to meet the FOIA requirements as to who would be coming to address us. That's all.
Thank you.
Before
Thanks.
We go any further, I'm going to excuse Mr. Stone if there are no other questions for him.
I got a question.
You got a question for him?
Real quick. It says hay training. What is hay training? I farm.
I say, hey. It's a system that's used for compensation that it's assigned so many points based on education, experience.
I figured it was
soil content.
I figured it wasn't the same. Well, I'm looking at, you know.
Now I have baled hay and I have loaded hay, but no, it's a different type of hay.
My family's from upstate New York too.
Okay.
Utica.
Niagara
County.
Sorry, were you, John?
I'm from Niagara County.
Yeah. I want to talk.
Thank you, Mr. Stone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's a couple of questions there. Mr. Cartier, then.
Yeah,
Mr.
I'd just
Wyatt.
Like to, weigh in on this. The county pension is a serious responsibility of this county. You know, we have hundreds of pensioners. We have people that are going to retire. We got in the middle of a kind of retirement bubble in the county. You know, it's no secret that You know, the pension fund got raided by some of the appointees in the previous, you know, Coons administration. Market crash, you know, we all know about that. You know, I really like to know, we got rule changes coming on. I'd really like to know where we stand. You know, Council Member Kilpatrick's right. You know, we haven't heard kind of dire predictions about it. I will say that since I've been here, we've made payments into our pension fund every year. We've not, to my knowledge, skipped that pension fund payment, which amounts to $13-15 million a year. But, you know, it's a good thing to refer back to. I think we should have an extensive presentation under finance and really get to the bottom of this and really know where we stand. And if we need to change the criteria for this board and really bring on a predominance of financial expertise, then council needs to figure that out and put it together. And just to underscore, you know, it's a major, major responsibility. People rely on this. They give good service to the public. They expect a good retirement. And we have a responsibility to have good stewardship over this for the future. So I take the warning flag from CAO at his word, and I want to know all the details so we can make adjustments as needed.
Thank you. Mr. Weiner, then Mr. Smiley.
Thank you. I'm also concerned about the integrity of our pension. The counties which have gone bankrupt were in the red, and then they reached a critical point where they could no longer pay, and they couldn't balance the shortages in a pension on the backs of the taxpayers. We don't want to get to that point. Yet, whether or not you change the formula or not, we've gone from 120% to 74% without the adjustment that brings it down to 54%. So that is a significant underfunding, no matter how you cut it. The decisions go beyond the normal knowledge of any persons. And, you know, I'm concerned because I remember Tom Croft, who ran the DuPont pension, being one of our two subject matter experts. And he urged that more subject matter experts be put on this pension board. But Ron Morris said no. The Tom Gordon administration, with Sherry Freeberry's CAO, followed his advice 10 years ago. And I think in retrospect, they're sorry they did, because they increased the number of union representatives on the board to even greater. Now, union folks obviously have a stake, but they're fiduciaries. And this board has never been called what it really is. It's a fiduciary board. You can't outsource it. You have to understand the knowledge that's required. And with all of these hundreds of millions of dollars involved, I think that we should take a look at the best practices across the country. I don't think you'll find any other county board, pension board, that has the kind of makeup that we do, with 13/15 of the pension board members being non-subject matter experts / union representatives. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to non-union people. It's not fair to the retirees. It's doing a disservice. And they also were advised at the time that they could outsource their fiduciary duty to another agency, which they did, which they can't. You cannot outsource to a fiduciary agency. Now, we've got some appointments to make. Two are going to be subject matter appointees, and one's going to be a retiree. We've got to make sure we've got the best. And all of us should have a stake in that. And I just want to say that I appreciate Councilman Smiley's offer to have him have some indulgence to come up with those names. But I think it's too important just because someone might have the name co-finance chair to be in charge of that. I think excuse me.
You're misrepresenting what I said.
Then maybe I did, and you can correct me. When you have the floor.
That's fine.
Continue on
this line, and then I'll correct it.
Yes.
Thank you. If I misunderstood them, that's fine. But this is too important a decisions to pass on to the indulgence of co-finance chair Smiley when he goes to the pension decision to get input from them. I think every one of us who are elected officials should participate in the decision as to who the subject matter experts are going to be. And it should be an open and transparent decision by all of us.
Director of HR, Ms. Beatty.
May I correct this, please?
Oh, yeah, she had her hand up.
Okay.
Ms. Smiley, we'll come to you directly.
Lynn Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer. That's okay. Actually, I didn't think I would be standing to speak to this issue. I thought I would be speaking to the next issue of Helen. But I feel compelled to speak to the issue. I've been with the county for 2 years now. And I, as an appointee, I serve as a trustee of the pension board. It's been a real interesting experience because many of the comments that were said today are correct. We have a pension board who relies on the council picks, quite honestly, as the subject matter experts. I am not a subject matter expert. I've gone to school, I've gone to training, I do the best I can. There is a huge corpus that we have to really be concerned with. And the trustees sitting around the table, most of the union reps, I don't think they would shy away from my statement, are not subject matter experts. I am not a subject matter expert. My chief of finance is not a subject matter expert, but he's probably a step or two ahead of me. This is a very important issue. After the shakeup and we've had some resignations, Tammy Martin, who was the pension and benefits administrator, and I went down and met with Dave Craig, who is the secretary to the state's pension board. Way different setup. They have financial experts on that trust, and they have an $8 billion trust. But when I shared with them how we were set up in the county, they thought it was a little odd, quite honestly, because whereas there is a vested interest in union membership and merit employees to have a stake, we are not financial experts. How they have it set up, they have a board of the DuPont retirees and other financial experts and investment experts who actually make those types of decisions, and then they have subcommittees who can feed into that and provide some guidance or become stakeholders. But what we're doing is suicidal. And I think you guys know me well enough that I'm going to speak my mind. There are a lot of changes coming down this path. All government is going to be impacted by this, not just Newcastle County. And it's going to be major. But we have seen it here, even when we try to do something as simple as moving from our 5%, 3% plan to the hybrid plan, where we had various factions trying to do carve-outs and all kinds of things. We cannot afford to continue to operate in this fashion. I just say that as just at my firsthand experience sitting on this board for 2 years. Now, with regard to how the process works here and, you know, how we're supposed to notify people and things of that nature, that's a whole nother story. But I just felt compelled to stand up and share with you what I've seen the 2 years sitting on this pension trust, and I am worried. You know, I think we really need to, you guys need to really take a serious look at how we staff the pension trust, the trustees, and the decisions we make. It's in your hands, because right now, as we're set up, by contract and by code, there's not a lot of flexibility there. There's just not flexibility, because by operation of law, seven of those seats are determined, and two additional are just because we're appointees. That is no way to run a business, and no way to handle a $400 million trust.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley, then Mr. Hoffman.
First, I want to say, quite honestly, I think the Financial Advisory Council that this council put together is actually a specimen of how it should be, as far as the experience and everything of the people that are on there. To clarify, Councilman Weiner, my comment and request for indulgence had nothing to do with appointees on the board. Had to do with Councilwoman Kilpatrick wanted a presentation from the pension board to council. I asked for the indulgence for me to attend the next pension board meeting so that I could find out from them who they're getting advice from now, who they have hired, who their board person is, and actually Ms. Beatty would be. Had nothing to do with the membership of the board, but they've gotten rid of some of their advisors. They have new ones that come in, and that's who we had here before, one of their outside pension advisors, as well as the chairman of the pension board and Ms. Beatty. Had nothing to do with members of that commission. That's what my indulgence was asked for me to, so that when we do put them on the agenda, I have the proper and appropriate
names of the person and the businesses that the corporation or whatever the advisory committee that they represent on that. That's what my comment was about. Was nothing about giving me latitude to get people to bring forward for appointments or anything else. That's what it was.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me be clear. My concern here, I think the comments by council members or Mr. Grimaldi, the chief CHRO, all very important. My concern here is that we have a candidate for this position, and this is not a finance committee meeting. It would be the same if we had someone here for the planning board and we start talking about rewriting the Unified Development Code. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is getting into.
Yep.
So if we need to do something, we should do it by, for God's sake, we should have done it before today, or we need to do it in finance, and if we need to redo the code or whatever we need to do the qualifications, that's all well and good. I'm just as concerned about this pension as anyone in the room, but I'm also concerned about this process of council bringing someone in, now going into this discussion, because we're the one being embarrassed with this nonsense. So let's do it, let's just do it correctly. It's not that I care less about the pension, it's the fact this is not the time and place when a candidate's here to start talking about all these things about the finances of the county, what we need to do, what we should have done, and who did what 10 years ago, and what happened when Tom Gordon was here before. This is not the place for that. So we're going to deal with this candidate, either it's going to be tabled, voted up or down, and move forward and schedule a meeting to go over all these critical things that we should have learned about maybe 6 months ago, or at least, 2 months ago.
Thank you. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't take exception to anything that Councilman Hollins has said. I think that, you know, we have a candidate that's come in, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick has put this candidate forward. So it is embarrassing, and it is should have been done prior to this point. However, with that being said, I think that for the chief administrative officer of this county government to come forward, even though it may not be the best approach, okay, at the 11th hour here, but I think for him to come forward and present what he's presented, and there have been and will continue to be significant changes that will impact us. I think that when you hear out of our chief human resources officer, not only agreeing, but presenting her perspective from observation of the pension board and how it's operated, I think that we really have to weigh in our minds whether this appointment should not be tabled at this time until we can get the information we need. And the only reason I mention that also is the fact that when you really look at this gentleman's resume, this gentleman has a tremendous amount to offer Newcastle County. And he's come before us and volunteered, but he has an extremely impressive background in human resources. And, and I did ask prior to Councilwoman stepping out, was that did he have an interest when he was first, interested? And this has gone on for a couple years now to where his initial interest was very strong towards HR. So I think that it brings up another point that no matter what administration, what council's in office, that we should be looking at the background and possibly what the person's interest is, actual interest, and trying to get them aligned with the board that best fits their qualifications. And I'm not saying that he's not qualified, but based on what I'm hearing this afternoon, I have some serious concerns as to maybe we need to change our path forward with the pension board. And I think this gentleman definitely has a place on a board in this county and would serve an important purpose and brings a lot to the table. I'm not sure that the pension board is the answer.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Sreet.
A couple of three things, Mr. President.
Yeah.
One, I just want to remind everybody that the financial experts and the financial gurus of the world have us in financial predicament that we have in the nation and throughout the world. So, all things considered, that needs to be part of the discussion. Two, in the little 8 years I've been here, I've never seen, or haven't even seen contemplated this kind of process when a candidate gets to the table. Number three, I'm hearing people being belittled and talked about in a derogatory manner that is just not acceptable to me. And looking at the man, I just looked at the resume. He's got a BA in finance, 35 years experience across the board, volunteering his time. And to go through this kind of process, to me, is just wrong. And I'll have no part of belittling people and now seizing the moment to put people in their place as it relates to education and experience, as if one is saying that I'm different, I'm better, but this person is beneath. It's just wrong, and I don't want anything to do with that kind of process.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Thank you. Mr. Cartier put it where he used to go into finance to discuss these issues and also process. I believe at one time we did have a subcommittee on boards and commissions under the executive committee where Councilmember Killer was the chair.
Co-chair with Council President Clark.
Okay. So we may need to have some discussion on bringing that process back based on, and we can talk about that in the executive committee next time. But this is important. Are we ready to move on from this issue? I'm sorry, Mrs. Street.
I forgot one of my points, Mr. President. I apologize. But what I hear, and I certainly don't have any finance expertise, what concerns me just as much as my other comments is it appears to me that we're now playing politics with the wrong thing, with the wrong reason, at the wrong time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess maybe a question for Boyle, but is this a council appointment with the executive consent? No?
It's a council appointment, and it does not have...
So it's a little different consent. Then, okay.
So repeat that again.
It is a council appointment without executive consent.
Without executive consent.
Where are we at? They're all different. All right. One,
yeah. Councilmember Kilpatrick, do you have anything else?
My only comment would be is that I'm not going to table it.
Okay.
We will vote it up or down.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Coop and then Mr. Powers. And then we will move on, please.
If I may just say one thing, I don't want to elongate the conversation any more than what it already has been, but I've only sat on the board for a few months. Subject matter expert is very important to the board. And I also want to let you know that I did put forth a motion at the last meeting, and I'm working with a subcommittee we're putting together to bring in an outside consultant to do an internal audit of our processes and procedures to determine whether we need an internal or outside auditor to come in and see how the pension plan is operating. But this will all come out when you put together a finance committee.
Thank you. Mr. Powers.
You said there are two other people.
There's two other vacancies.
Yeah, and whose are those?
Ours.
They would be the same exact appointment.
Jim Boyle, I'm also here, because there's total, we have total four appointments.
Yeah.
One of our appointments is the chair, who is also has the finance, the securities banking background. Then we have, if this gentleman is if this resolution is adopted tonight, it'll be Mr. Stone. There is still another person who has to have the finance security experience that is unknown at this time, and there is a retired employee that right now one is in process and we're waiting for an SFI.
Now, are there appointments from council?
They're all appointments from council.
And not from the exec side at all?
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Powers, do you have anything else?
No.
Mr. White.
Yes, Mr. Boyle, you said we have somebody in mind. Who's we?
I did not pick the person. The person volunteered, and it's Michael Finnegan.
Michael Finnegan?
Finnegan.
Okay, and he volunteered to you?
I did not receive his resume directly. No, I did not.
Who received his resume?
I believe Councilman Smiley got his resume.
Okay. I just think that
there needs to be a process where all of us are included in this, and that there is a fair sharing of input and decision making on where these names come in.
With all due respect, Councilman, we only make recommendations. They come to the table, they're voted on, they're adopted. If the rest of the resume is given out, if there's a dispute, anybody can come up with.
I understand, but once the ball gets rolling, it's tough to stop the ball from rolling down the hill. So I think we need to take a look at the top of the hill where the ball starts to get rolled down and make sure that all of council members are equally involved and it's an open process.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Smiley, will be the last.
And I will be brief. Yes. Just to say, this process is no different than any other committees. So if we want to revamp how we're doing the committees, and that what I'm hearing is, if someone is interested in coming forward for any committee, that we're now going to say, okay, now I'll bring your name before council. Council will discuss your name, then decide whether you can submit your resume or not. And then if we agree to accept the resume, then we want your resume, then we'll take your resume, and then we'll review it. I mean, we've had an open process. Let me finish. That's why we had these, all the boards and commissions put on the website, which the executive side has said that they will get updated, keep it updated. That's why we had them put there to try to promote outside public interest from the citizens, and any one of them can send a resume in. If we get five resumes for a position, then this council has to review the five resumes and decide what we're going to do. I'm just saying, you know, it sounded like we're trying to say what's taking place here today with this, and with the resume of Mr. Finnegan, is any different than any other. Everybody got an email saying that people had resigned from the pension board. Forget what the reasons were. And all I'm saying is the process that's going through for this board is no different than any other. And if we're going to revamp the process, I'm fine with that. But we're going to revamp it for every board. Let's have the same process for all the boards like we do now. I just don't know how you're going to do it. If someone comes to one of us and says, I'm interested in the Board of Adjustment, how do we handle that other than taking a resume and bringing forward as we do? Do we tell all of council, send an email and say, here's who's interested. Does anybody like him or not?
Thank
and
you.
If one doesn't, do we stop it? I'm always open for ideas that make it better.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. It's apparent that we have a lot of work to do on this.
Boy, you're not kidding.
Well, there is a council member who's available for a subcommittee because she resigned from one other one. I don't
speak for yourself, Mr. Smiley.
Yes, speak for yourself, Mr. Smiley.
Agenda
thank
item
you, President.
Number. Yes, Council Member Dill, I got your back.
Thank
council
you.
agenda item number 4. 13-019 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 26, Human Resources Article 3, Merit System, regarding attendance and the minimum increment in which leave hours may be recorded. HR, please.
Do you want me to
be good? Please, you're welcome to sit down.
Okay, thank you.
And state your name for the record, please.
I'm Helen McKinley with the Human Resources Office.
Welcome.
Hopefully this won't be long enough that I won't be sitting here very long. This ordinance is to change the leave increments that employees may use from 1/2 hour to 1/4 hour, which actually we use for many years since we've had the PeopleSoft system. It has the ability to record sick, vacation, etc. in 1/4 hour increments. And while Human Resources was reviewing a policy, we noticed the FMLA policy, I believe, it mentioned that it could only be used in half-hour increments. Well, lo and behold, under the merit system, leave can only be used in half-hour increments. So we sent out a memo to, you know, all the employees and let them know, and there was such an uproar that you wouldn't believe. So we decided the best, you know, there's no cost to the county, it's benefit to the employees to go back to allowing leave time to be used in 1/4 hour increments. So we did take that to the Human Resources Advisory Board, and they recommended that you approve that at their meeting on March 7th. Does anyone have any questions, or do you have something
just
to add?
Just a comment. I'm BD Chief Human Resources Officer. This was my doing. When, as Helen indicated, we were updating the FMLA policy last summer, and I realized, and Laura Hay, who was counsel for HR, that we were not complying with Newcastle County Code. The code stipulates half-hour increments. So I indicated that when we updated the policy, we needed to be in compliance with the code. And that's what we did. And then I got many, many complaints, but we knew that we were going to be putting forth an ordinance or, you know, some sort of legislation to get this changed and corrected. But the things that we knew, we were not going to be violating of the code. So this has been approved and supported by the HRAB. All the locals, everybody and his mother is supportive of this change. Thank you.
Mr. Smiley.
I just want to say, you mentioned it's beneficial to the employees. I also think it's beneficial to the county. Because if we've got someone who needs to go to a doctor's appointment and they can be back in 45 minutes, under this we're saying you've got to lay out there for 15 more minutes or work 15 for free. So I think the quicker we can get them back on the job, the better it is for the county as well.
Good point.
Any questions or comments for HR? Thank you so much. Moving right along, we now will have a. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent. A brief presentation on citizen involvement applications of Mr. Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of Council, I'd like to introduce two. People who are from ESRI. It's the company which is under contract with Newcastle County. They are, to use Jim McDonald's words, the big gorilla in the room. They are the major player in national technology and innovation, and had the pleasure of hearing some of their compatriots speak at the National Association of Counties Innovation Technology Symposium. They made a PowerPoint presentation to the county executive and the CAO and a few of the aides that were there. And with the indulgence of the chair and president of this organization, they're coming back today to provide a briefer PowerPoint to show council members what's possible with technology and innovation. How can we take a look at protecting our security? How can we do it affordably? And how can we help our constituents to have instant equal access to the public's information at the same time that we have it, without taking a look at the old institutional impediments which made it impossible? And with that, I'll turn it over to Matthew Martini and Rachel Whedon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Council, for the time to speak today. My name is Matt Martini. I'm the ESRI account manager for the county. RTIS platform is the GIS platform currently deployed at the county. So what we wanted to do today was spend just a few minutes and show you some examples of how the RTS platform has evolved and supports particular county government, local government as well. With me today is Rachel Whedon. She's the technical manager for the Northeast region. She's going to go through three demonstrations of applications that speak to what the councilman's talking about, using geographic information from the county, things like constituent engagement, and we'll talk a little bit about executive dashboards and using GIS to support county operations. So with that, in the interest of being brief, I'll turn it right over to Rachel.
Thanks, fellow council. Happy to be here. Like Councilman Weiner said, we had the opportunity to present a handful of applications a few weeks ago, and so I'm going to hit a couple of the highlights today and hopefully highlight a couple of themes that reference some of the priorities that Councilman Weiner expressed were important to the county. First I wanted to highlight an application that supports government transparency. I know it's important that citizens have access to information that's theirs, and maps and geography are a great platform to provide that. So the first application that a lot of counties are using to do that is a public comment or land use application. So imagine that any citizen in Newcastle County was able to search land use proposals or changes that were taking place in the county and view information about those plans and those plan changes. So I'm doing a quick search here on the map to find any changes that might be taking place related to school developments. And we'll get the results on the map here, and we'll be able to view the details of that. The idea is that when we can display public data on a map, it really helps improve transparency and accessibility of the data. And I know that open data is a big push in government these days to be able to put that information on the map.
That's working like my computer.
I'm going to switch over to the Wi-Fi connection here in the county building. We'll see if that gives us a better connection. Of course, whenever you do live technology demonstrations, you always have glitches like this, right?
I thought it was only on my copper line.
On your copper line?
I think it's because it's after 5 o'clock, so my computer thinks it's...
The tower's broke. Yeah.
Paging Jim McDonald.
So go ahead and
read
this
thing.
Not here.
He's hiding.
You could see me earlier.
Okay, there we
did
go.
Did it connect?
There we go.
Sorry about that. So I did a quick search for school. We find this proposed development, School of Rock, right? So this is a proposal that's in front of the county, and the public can view information about this. Maybe they'd like to view additional information, documents. You can see there's a link there to a PDF that would give all the information about the plan. Maybe the Planning Commission or the county assembled those documents. And also the ability for public comments. So a great way to engage the public to be able to say, what are your ideas about this plan? What are your thoughts or concerns? And this really presents a public forum where, you know, we can represent governments and citizens working together to help do the business of government in a more efficient manner. So the idea of having access to this type of map information isn't new to the county. The county already does a lot of this work. They put property information out on the web. But being able to present that in a more modern and engaging way is something that, that I know the council would be interested in. So there's a second example that I wanted to show you that takes this idea of citizen engagement a little bit further. And this was an idea that Councilman Weiner presented to us. He said, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if there was a way to allow the citizens to report information, problems that were relevant to the county? That would do a couple of things. It would help the citizens feel like they were engaged with government. It would help the county improve operations by getting data that they might not otherwise have access to. And then they could improve efficiency of operations. So in the case of something like graffiti tags, that might be information that the county is not managing in an efficient way. But if we had an application that let citizens from their mobile phone, from a tablet device, from their browser at home, report graffiti that they've observed in the county, this would present opportunities for the county to be responsive to the citizens' needs. So I'm showing an example with graffiti, but imagine that this could be anything. So imagine I'm doing this on my smartphone right now. I could click and report a specific incident. Maybe it's graffiti on a building. I can enter any description that I want about that. And I could add an attachment so I could take a photo with my camera, for example. So a lot of local governments use this for all types of citizen reporting, potholes, quality of life issues, graffiti, and applications like this work really well on the web, but they're designed to work on any device. So if the county were to implement something like this, it offers new and modern ways to engage the government. But once that incident's located, that information can be available in all sorts of kind of reporting dashboards, right? So this is an example of how we could report on that data. This is the incident that I just reported. So imagine we're getting real-time information from the citizens, and we can view how that information is being reported by type or by location. And we can use this as a way to view those key performance indicators, so those metrics that make it easier for the county to respond to those types of problems. So those were first two examples were about engaging the public to help with the government's goals of open transparency and citizen engagement. The last example I'm going to show is more of an internal application. And imagine that I'm viewing this on my iPad, right? This is designed to be a tablet device, tablet application. And like I was just showing with the other example, dashboards are really becoming more and more commonplace. You know, executives are relying on dashboards to give them at-a-glance information on the metrics that are important to them. And so all the information that we saw, whether it was the graffiti data, whether it was the public comment data, whether it's crime information that's being reported through a CAD system, all that data could be collected as an assortment of real-time feeds and displayed in the dashboard. So imagine as an executive I sign in, I get these alerts, right? So I can see right away that the city services was red, right? So it grabbed my attention. And maybe now the map and the dashboard is telling me that pothole complaints are up. I can see where that's happening on the map. I can view trend information to see if this is a new trend or, you know, what's been going on historically. And this type of information is just kind of that at-a-glance metrics, the type of detail that's important for executives to be able to see. Clicking on these different topics changes the map so I can see how sidewalk complaints might be in a different place in my county. I can add notes, so if this is something that I want to follow up on, or if I want to hold a community meeting to discuss the problem, I can make notes to myself to follow up on that. So these types of dashboards really designed to help collect information, aggregate it based on a variety of feeds. So imagine the possibilities of what all these feeds could be, 911 calls or citizen reporting applications, and just the idea that they could all be aggregated to give someone kind of an overview of activity in the county. So these types of dashboards, these overviews of activity and these public comment applications are really two of the key trends that we see in how GIS and technology is being applied in government. Again, it's a lot of what the county's already been doing. The county already has the data and the maps and everything to fuel these types of applications. We're just looking to generate some interest and some feedback in terms of whether or not these are a good fit for Newcastle. So I'll leave it open to the council if there are questions or comments.
Comments or questions? Mr. Cartier.
What would be the most ideal portable wireless device to have a display like that? Be like a tablet, right?
Anything with a cellular or wireless connectivity, so an iPhone or iPad, an Android phone, any sort of smartphone, you would call it,
If you're on Wi-Fi, you have an AirCord.
Right, but, you know, you're going to need a pretty decent-sized screen to really...
Right, the tablet's a great form factor, so that would be...
That would be the ideal device to have... to work with this kind of mapping display and dashboard.
I would think for the executive dashboard, for something like the graffiti app that the public might use, that works really well on a smaller form factor, so there's not as much information. So imagine that map and just being able to click on a map. There are a lot of mapping applications that people rely on already on our phones, smartphones.
You're always on there.
Mr. Ratter, and then Mr. Weiner.
Thank you. I know, as far as graffiti and crime, we already have, with the police department, we already have where you can text in on your phone the area and problem, and with your tablet, you can do it also.
That's right. That's the crime tips application.
And it comes back to you. It gives you results. They tell you. You get a number. You get results and everything. And we've had the one with the telephone for a year, a little over a year now. And then as far as a computer, laptop, or PC, we just have to put that application in this year. So, you know, as far as the map goes of where the area is, I mean, most of the people that live in that area, like of a crime or graffiti, you would give the location and it would come back. And the police already have that because they put it... put like a flag or whatever, a dot, like you'd have up there, of the location of the problem.
Well, I think what we see, if I can respond to that, is that presenting the map as an interface to collect information is a more engaging method to work with the public. So a lot of times people's phones are enabled with location so that the phone knows where they are. So if I'm driving past a graffiti tag, I can right away capture that. I don't need to enter an address or click on the map. The phone can capture that. So it just facilitates the reporting of information and hopefully would make it more likely for citizens to complete the request. And then on the internal side, being able to view, like we were looking at here, kind of hot spots or trends, that's all something that's necessary to have the map-based data entry for.
Hot spots or trends as in what?
Like in the example on the screen here, being able to see not just where there are specific crimes, but being able to see where there's a cluster of crimes or a change over time.
Well, I don't know if the police department is going to put that out because we have a what they call a TAPS program. And the council and aides go to the meetings in the morning, and then afterwards they do their discussion without us. So I don't know how they're going to put that out, if they're going to put that out publicly or going to put that out just to the council or what.
This might be more internal.
That's more on the police department side.
Mr. Weiner, then Mr. Powers.
Thanks. The nice aspect of this is that you can do the dashboard just for legislative executive branch or managers, or you can make it available to the public, deciding upon the security issues involved. The idea of adding GIS, and there's a lot of forms to do it. You do it, CityWorks does it. I know our county's considering, CityWorks, but you do the same thing as well. A lot of times folks aren't real good on geography, and they say, well, it's just up the road. Well, you know, there are no ups and downs. But a lot of people don't know exactly where the mile marker is when they see, like, a car that's been in an accident. So the factor that they could simply take a picture as they're, you know, stopped in traffic, and they don't exactly know the names of the streets. It immediately goes into a GIS system and tells you exactly where it is. And the point that you made before, it's much more interactive, user-friendly. The technology is, I mean, we're way in the dust because other cities and counties are already doing that. As far as the dashboard goes, we may not want to tell the bad guys that we've figured out where they are, or we might, but that's a policy decision that needs to make with a consideration of all of us. It may be behoove all of us for the citizens to know that there's a hot spot of crime, of burglaries. And we may want to share that information and have them available, but we can limit all of that and decide where we want to make the thresholds. Matt wants to speak as well.
Mr. Powers had his name up there, sir. You can address Mr. Powers.
Just bringing up about, you know, we do already have with the dots, and how I learned that was I was having a newer subdivision having the burglaries, which is now yours.
I put all the stuff back there.
Yeah. But what the problem comes sometimes with putting those dots is people bring them up, and they're like, this is my first time home, and I really don't want to call it in because I don't want a dot on my house. And I had that in one of my subdivisions that we finally had to, they wanted more patrols, but we're like, you got to call 911 and get these to show up for us to get the patrols in there. But, you know, it's a catch-22 either way. Somebody's looking at it, you know, the police see it and it helps them. But somebody's trying to sell their house, they don't like the dots on their house. I never knew there was even, that's when I learned that we do have the system.
Well, you wanted to respond, sir.
Just if I could sort of dovetail with what someone was saying. These are just three examples of the template applications that are out there. These templates can be repurposed to, you know, this could be a human services type of viewer where you can inform constituents and residents about, you know, human service facilities or, you know, where they can get flu shots, you know, where the clinic times and dates are for getting flu shots, those kinds of things. These are just three examples that we picked to demonstrate the value of the platform as a whole. So these are all templates that can be repurposed depending on the particular needs. So these aren't just three applications, there are three templates applications that will be applied in those different ways. So
thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. You know, we look at this in terms of our police department, but I have a Crime Watch network within my district, and they not only go and through and pick up what Newcastle County allows them to pick up, but there are sites out there that list all of the crimes for every police department. They're already public. Right. All you have to do, where Crime Spots or something, and you go on there, and they just pick up, you know, every day what goes on, because they come over from the every police department, not just Newcastle County. So even though we may choose as a council to think that some of these things should be limited, we can only limit what we put out from our own agency, but everybody else is getting it from someplace else.
Mr. Tackett, then Mr. Bretta, then
General. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, something like this is exciting and definitely demands, you know, are engaging as a government. You know, I mean, I would really like to see us as a county, you know, come up with, you know, one centralized system that we could go to and use. I mean, we did hear from, you know, special services, they're looking at something called like CityWorks, and, you know, we're over here. I know I've had opportunities or in the past where I've needed to identify where the sewer was, but I had to call to special services and they had to get it because that system wasn't open. And I mean, it would be great if we had like some spot that we could go to like this that could call up and we could click whatever that option would be, let's say, and we could find things like that. We do have, you know, as we're hearing here, you know, for the police, it's available right now on our website too. It's called what's called Spot Crime, but that's more of a generalized thing that anybody can go to. But we have something called Crime Mapping. It's right on our public safety. They go there and they put the balloons up, and, you know, so the public does have that, you know. And there could be something more engaging here, just like you said, centralized. What's popping up? What's happening? That's what we were seeing. What Councilman Redder was saying with the taps, you know. You know, where the trends are at. So I would like to see us move in some kind of direction where we could integrate all of our computer systems. We are one county. Let's get it someplace somewhere that we could all engage and use and not move independently, you know, as we've kind of seen in the past where each, you know, code has ways of putting in code complaints. But it's a little bit, you know, convoluted, and it's a little hard to navigate. And if you put a a DR in, or if you try to spell the road too much or something, it doesn't like it, you know, and kicks you back out and all. So it would be nice to try to get something that was a little bit more public friendly and also something that we could engage one stop for all of our information.
We're going to move this along. Mr. Retta, then final comments, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. It was brought up about the hot spots for the public to understand and to know where they're at. A while back, I had a so-called hotspot, and it was under investigation by our crime unit and drug unit, and at the same time, the public ran out about it, and when they did, they killed 6 months' worth of work. So by putting this thing on the web where the hotspots are, that's not a good idea, because the police department, they do, you might have somebody sitting in your neighborhood, you don't even know who they are, and it might be a policeman. They might look like one of the guys that they're trying to arrest, and it's probably a policeman. It's not good to do that, to put it on there. Let the police handle the police work, and we'll handle the public work.
Thank you.
So, just to follow up, three quick points. First, on the councilwoman's point, there are other constituent groups, special interest groups, other groups that put information out. I think the benefit of moving to a platform like this, or engaging in a platform like this, is that the county gets to put out its authoritative data. One thing we learned about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when those storms, heavy rainstorms, ran up the East Coast, there was a lot of social network use and putting information out via the social networks that the public safety agencies had to combat, because they weren't things like official evacuation routes, et cetera, et cetera. So having a platform to put out the official word from the county side, I think, is an important aspect of this. To follow on this councilman's point about using data from other systems, it doesn't necessarily have to be all brought into one system. GIS is very good at getting access or extracting data from other business systems, incorporating that, analyzing that, and generating more information, sometimes better information, from those systems without having to really bother with that. And then to follow up on the last question or point, the technology will support whatever the policy decisions are. Those are very valid security concerns, public safety concerns. What should we put out? Whatever those policy decisions are, the technology can support that. So that can be internal viewers for secure information, or if it's important information that does need to get to the public, you can expose that to the public. So it's a very flexible technology and support those policy level considerations when it comes to public access and things that's made available. So with that, I thank you for your time today to present.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Councilman Weiner, for bringing them in. We shall proceed with the agenda. Item number 6, discussion on engagement, General Assembly regarding fiscal matters that impact county government. There was some discussion in the last public finance meeting, one of the committee meetings, about a lobbyist, what the administration was doing, and I believe it was the will of the council that the council become involved in that process. Marcus Henry is not here today, so it may be best to table it until we get all the players at the table, unless you want to have some discussion on it, Mr. Retta.
No, I'm just going to make a suggestion that we make a motion that we table it until we get more information or more people to discuss it.
Motion in order.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much. Number 7. Council, the council, please come to share with us updates on the workshop room improvements and discussion on possible terms of use. Council.
Yes, Mr. President, Carol Dolan, Council. At the last meeting, Council passed a motion for the attorneys to move forward in crafting an agreement regarding the workshop room. I did contact Mr. Papakai and the executive is in agreement as to whatever council wants. However, council did not make decide the terms and conditions of the use of the room, so I can't and he cannot set the policy that will be incorporated into the contract. And one of the first questions is whether council, in fact, did vote that they do want to give up any portion of the room for use by the city of Wilmington for their television equipment. And I did not have a clear answer on that, Mr. President.
Okay.
That was point one.
Okay.
So the second point, these would have to be voted upon by council so that we obviously can write the contract. The second one is, if you do want to move forward, is council satisfied with the schematic that was provided? The schematic was just had some outlines that didn't have meets, measures, the diameters of what would be left for council. The third question is, what terms of use are you seeking? The suggestion was that it was just a suggestion that council use the room on Tuesdays and quote-unquote traditional times. There was no definition of traditional times, and there was no indication to me whether council agreed that they limiting it to Tuesdays would be good, and that is predicated on whether you want to do it at all. The third is, what term of contract are you seeking? Are you looking to do this in perpetuity? Are you looking to give up this portion, whatever portion, if you're satisfied with the schematic of the room that you want to give up? Do you want it to be forever? Do you want it to be for 5 years? Do you want it to be for 10 years? Do you want it to be automatically renewed unless there is a 60-day notice to the contrary? Or do you want it to be renewed only upon your agreement? So there are all kinds of issues that we cannot incorporate into a contract unless you vote on them. Another question was council's option to purchase the equipment. What is the value of the equipment? When do you want to exercise the option? The other one is, what other terms and conditions are you seeking? So the memorandum of agreement that was presented was just a big piece of paper that cannot be incorporated into any type of binding contract. So council would have to vote on these issues so that we have the instructions to proceed.
Thank you, council. Mr. Redd, Mr. Cartier, then attorney, county attorney, in that order.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to ask the councilor a couple questions. Did we have a contract before for that room?
I don't know the answer to that. I can answer that there is a resolution that divides this building into 45-55%.
Right.
My understanding is that would be agreement was that both councils had joint ownership of that room.
Okay, well, if there's 45 and 55%, I mean, I've been here 8 years and I think we've used it four times maybe. And we used the lobby downstairs, I know, two or three times. Now, if we didn't have a contract before, why is a contract coming into vogue now? That's what I can understand. And all these questions about city council wants us to do this, they want us to do that. And then the equipment, I don't think we should pay anything for the equipment. We don't use it, why should we do it? That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Brown and Mr. Cartier.
Yeah, you know, the city council took the initiative to come in and try to put a proposal across which would basically take a huge amount of that room away from the public use that we would use it for. There's no presentation of how much area they're going to take permanently because they don't want anybody getting near their equipment. And will this really remove that space from our public use for the things that we use it for? So we need to go back to the very beginning here, I think, and really see where, you know, we want to go with that space. As far as I'm concerned, you know, it was a public space that was available that we could schedule. We had ethics seminars there. I used it for that with other members and staff. It was used for public receptions when we bring new members in and swear them in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we definitely had a pattern of use there. And my question is, what they're proposing, is that going to really make it impossible for us to use it for those purposes? And if that's really the case, you know, I got real issues with that. Unless there is an alternative space that can be made available to substitute for the uses that we need. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. That proposal was very vague, didn't really give us any of that sense.
Thank you. County Attorney Pepcott and Mr. Smiley.
Good afternoon, Counsel. Bernard
Pepcott,
County Attorney. Just wanted to reiterate what Counsel to Counsel indicated, that the county has spoken with the county executive on this matter, and he's amenable to whatever Counsel decide. So whatever you decide to do with the room, you have your Counsel to Counsel work with City Counsel to do whatever pleases Counsel. The county executive is amenable to whatever this Counsel decides. So I just wanted to articulate.
Thank you, Mr. Pepcott. Mr. Smiley?
I'm going to go a couple things. Number one, as far as the contract on the room, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and 7 years ago, I asked for a copy of the contract between the county and the city on the building, and the answer was the same, was that years ago, the city drafted a contract for agreement, sent it over to the county executive office, and it never got signed and came back. So, as far as I know, there's no, and they just operated under it without there being a signed contract. And I never did get a copy of anything, whether they could find it or not. So that's that. To address the one question of why are we going with a contract, I believe this council asked for a contract.
Right.
We asked for it. That's why they're looking to put it together. Another point I want to address is, and I said this before, that I have a problem with the terminology, whatever it was, but basically said, locked us into what we had used it for before. And part of the reason for that is we'd never used that room, had never been used before for an ethics task force meetings, but it's now being used for that. So we evolved, so we need to do it that way. And the last point I'm going to make, and I'm surprised somebody didn't jump on this, because everyone's been a stickler about having things in front of them. For me, and I hate to be dragging this out, but I would feel more comfortable if in front of me I had a sheet with the bullets that said, here are the issues you need to address with room, so that council, we could be here and we could say, okay, bullet number one is length of the contract. We discuss that. Okay, there's a motion for a length of the contract. That's 5 years. Somebody writes, okay, each council member can write, okay, 5 years, it is approved. What's the next thing? What's the next bullet? And we could sit here and go bullet by bullet by bullet. And quite honestly, I think we need a meeting with less than 12 things on the agenda in order to be able to do that. But, you know, I've brought forward 5-line proposals to this council, and people have had issues because they didn't have enough time to read it, and it's only been 5 lines. And this is much more, I think, involved than that. So I think if we could have this discussion again, but have those bullets, let's get them in advance so each council member can look at them, and then let's run down it and put this thing to rest once and for all. That's just my suggestion for what it is.
She's making copies,
yeah,
now.
Because we need to give them specific guidance in what to put in the contract, but I think we need to put this on another agenda.
We will do that.
Because I have a cookie for dinner on my desk.
Yeah. let me ask a question. Mr. Hollis probably would answer this. Have we ever seen a contract?
I've seen the resolution.
This body's never seen the contract.
No, a resolution. I do have a copy.
I know. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on a rock.
Moses Harris.
Flintstone. The 11th commandment. Now it's not you. I just want
to take it away from
you. All right. So let's, Mr. Smiley, would you make a motion to your point that we'll review this again with the bullet points and not today?
I would make a motion that each council member take the bullet points that are currently being distributed by council to council, review them, and that the next executive committee meeting with a limited agenda,
we move through to address and take votes on each bullet point in order to provide guidance for a contract.
All in favor,
discussion.
Discussion point.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that, because I support it, that the motion meant at the next executive committee meeting where there was a short agenda.
That's what I said, with a limited agenda.
With a limited agenda. Because yeah. I don't know what you've got planned for your next agenda meeting.
It seemed like some of my esteemed colleagues, you all have been piling a lot of issues on the executive committee.
Yes, sir.
That are
so if we don't really pile them, they won't be there.
They're really other committees' issues. So if you would be mindful to take ownership accountability for those issues that should be on other agendas, not on.
Council President, with all due respect, and to cross the line of political parties, Nancy Reagan said, just say no.
Yeah. We will. Yes.
Council and Council, I would just respectfully suggest that perhaps the underlying issue, whether Council wants to do this at all, before we schedule another meeting and go through the whole process would be helpful.
Okay, there is a motion on the table. That's a discussion point. Any other discussion points?
I would just say, as time allows, maybe you might only want to add a bullet or two to each meeting and not try to tackle this whole animal at one time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it started off as an ant, now it's an elephant.
Yeah, I think they want to get a contract.
I want to get it done. Yeah. I want to get it done. I see you, Mr. Street. I would, if we could get a copy of the contract, the original deal.
Right, that's
the original 11th commandment, if we can get a copy of that.
Comparable.
Maybe we need that to sign somebody else.
You all agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Good luck.
Council. I did distribute to all of Council all of the resolutions that already have been adopted relative to the use of the individual space. That was done in the last meeting.
Okay. Just trying to have the whole. There's still a motion on the table.
Read the motion again.
Please.
I just want to make a note, okay, that, and I've said this a couple times before, and we're drawing up a contract between the two councils. With all due respect, it's not our space. It belongs to special services. This space belongs to special services. It's all assigned to us. They have a building committee. They're special. Our special services. They're public works.
So
I brought up this in the meetings before.
Yeah.
They have the agreements. They signed the contract.
We can tell them.
I brought this up to Mr. Rago. I talked to Mr. Suter, okay, who is on our building committee. He serves Mr. Merritt. And to be very frank with you, I've been handling some of these issues in the past with the renovation of the chamber and the new furniture and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
It's always been run through public works and special services.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. Ms. Kilpatrick is going to offer up a great suggestion after Mr. Street.
Exactly.
Well, I think that this is all overkill, quite frankly. One, either we agree with it in principle or we don't. Okay, and if we agree with it in principle, then it becomes a staff function to finalize and work it out with attorneys, whatever, whoever. But I think the city came to us in good faith. Either we agree with it in principle or we don't. And we're holding up a process. So either we're going to do it or not. But to keep on spending this kind of time over one room repeatedly, to me, is just ridiculous. So I'm not going to support the motion. Either we support it in principle or not, and work out the logistics. I just think this is ridiculous over a room.
I agree.
I would agree with Councilman Street.
That's twice today.
That's twice a day. Make it right. But
would you repeat it? I don't think you heard you right.
I think we're spending probably more time than anyone had imagine we would be spending, but we didn't do some of the very basics, and that is the memorandum of understanding we still don't have. We still don't have any dimensions of the room that we've asked for from the very beginning. So it's two very basic things that we just don't have. And once we get beyond that,
I'm good to go with it. I agree in principle with it, but we keep getting bogged down because we don't finish it when we get started. I might add, I'm a little troubled with the comment by the policy director that, you know, these decisions are made. It sounds to me like in the dark, that we got some group who owns it, who make these determinations, and as if we don't have anything to say about it or to do with it. And that's the problem I ran with in the very beginning, that decisions are being made, and we're the ones who use the room, and I think that we should be the ones to make that determination. So if there's another group out there, whoever that group is, I don't even know who they are. And if it's community service, or special services, or some other group, they never had any discussions with us, and I think we're the ones using the space. So I think the buck should start with us and end with us. So whatever that process is, I'm not so certain if I'm very comfortable with that.
With the contract. All right.
Yeah.
There's still a motion. Mrs. Smiley, I forgot what the motion was. restated, or we don't need a new motion.
No, the motion is for each council member to take time and review the bullets provided by council to council, and at the next limited agenda executive committee meeting that we go through bullet by bullet, discuss it, and vote on each one so as to provide guidance with council to draft an agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 What about my side?
Huh? Not voting. What'd you say, Mrs. Reed?
Oh, you said it was all in favor say aye.
Well, you didn't give me a chance to carry on.
He was asking another question.
Question.
Not voting?
No, question.
Question, yes.
I still don't understand. We're voting on something that we haven't had the contract before. We haven't seen the old contract. We don't know what's in it. And we're voting on something new. It could be more detrimental to us than the old one was.
But they already voted.
We're not voting. We're voting to put it off.
It's a motion. Well, I like to see the old contract. There's a vote on a motion on the floor. All I want to do is vote no. Have me quit. Have
me quit. I ask for all in favor.
Aye.
All right. Any other questions?
We had no discussion on this motion, but why are we not asking special services to come in, give a briefing on this, and maybe they've covered some of this, and we can figure out most of what we want to know from them? I mean, if Wayne's on the committee, why isn't he coming in as general manager of special services and telling us why? I mean, Carol hasn't done it before, so
what may
not be bad.
Isn't that the logical next step?
I
just wanted to make one clarification. I'm certainly in deference to the policy director. Maybe some decisions were made by special services, but state law, as I confirmed with the county attorney, requires that county council authorize the county executive to sign contracts that bind the county. I just want to make that clear.
They negotiate.
But it would be an informational meeting.
We have two informational. Two more important issues other than a public comment, and we'll be done. Mr. Boyle has a brief presentation on the photographer council. Mr. Boyle.
We received total of four people who were interested. One did not bid. One bid was thrown out, which was Foschi Photography, because they did not address the frame, which is probably the more expensive part of this. So at this point in time, we have two bids, which is Creative Images Associates, with a total bid of $1,776, and Contrast Photography, which is $1,149. That is a difference of $600. I've met with Creative Images. We've worked with them the last two times. I'm well familiar with them. I also met with the gentleman from Contrast with Photography. He went through, you know, what we require, the framing, and so on and so forth. He had a good background, I believe. He was the ponder for a large hospital system in Philadelphia prior to going out to what we call private practice. And he did all the portraits and the medical and the surgical and so on and so forth for a large hospital system up in Philadelphia. And basically, the prices speak for themselves. I've talked to purchasing, and being that it was put out for bid, they basically said you should go with the low price.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Thank you. Policy Director Boyle, who reviewed these proposals with you?
The only thing I got was two.
Okay, so when you said we, were you were talking about council collectively, but you received them directly?
I received them directly, and Anthony DiFerio and I both received them.
Okay. The other question I want to ask is, what was the price we paid last year to Creative Images?
I'd have to look back. I don't know.
Is this higher, lower, or about the same?
It's higher.
It's higher. Okay. That's the only questions I have. A comment that I thought Creative Image did a professional job, and I don't think the financial difference is that much different. Contrast photography may be just as good, but you know, I'm comfortable with the fact that we know Creative Images' record, but I'll defer to the will of council.
I've lost weight. Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess Jim has looked over them. We're trying to look at them here real quick ourselves, and I also concur with the comments of Councilman Weiner. I mean, we've obviously seen the work that Creative Images has done and provided for us, and this other one, I do see something in here, I'm looking at these quick, about release of the rights and all. So they've had this in here. The other one doesn't have that.
Does release rights grant.
And then the other one, I guess, I don't know, maybe just because it went into a little bit more detail.
It is.
As opposed to the equipment and everything.
The release of the original specifications was sent out to all council members when it was sent to purchasing.
So it'll be necessary.
Gotcha. Well, that's what I said. You know, I agree with Councilman Wonder. We've seen what we have, and it's been there, and the services and professionalism has been there, so I don't know.
Any other discussion?
Make a motion that we go with Creative Images.
Second.
Yes, second. All in favor of going with Creative Images, say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Not voting? Creative Images.
May I? Yes. I did have a discussion with purchasing over this. And it's the will of council, it's the will of council. I did have discussion of purchasing on this because of our relationship with Creative Images in the past. And what they suggested to me is that I would have to go with the lower bid. If I did not like that bid, okay, that I would have to kick out that bid and rebid.
Excuse me, we're a separate branch of equal government. That means we're not bound by whatever they do. So we just made a decision.
And Mr. Boyle, with all due respect, tell them there was no I. There was we, and we decided. I didn't get a vote on the new flat screen TV they bought, so they're not getting a vote on
with
the portrait.
With all due respect, Councilman, that's exactly what I said to the purchasing agent,
He told him about.
Thank you for
flat
that.
Screen TV.
That's important. Thank you, Mr. Boyle. Research. Number 9, election of President Pro Tem. Pursuant to Council Rule 1.4. Is there a motion to nominate?
I'd like to nominate Kevin Rhodes.
I'd nominate the senior council person. On the
second.
Yes.
All
right.
It's been moved and second. All in favor?
Question. Aye. Aye.
Is there a question on the motion?
I did. No. Senior also mean the oldest. That's all.
No.
Then I vote aye. I just want to make sure it's the same one.
All in favor, raise your hand. Congratulations, Mr. Holland.
Thank you all very much.
Yes, sir.
It was a tough campaign.
Make sure you show it on your taxes.
Yep.
You're buying dinner.
Of course. Apologize for all the money you had to use to run this campaign.
Still got a sign on it.
Yeah. Buy his dinner with all the money
you have. Anything else under other?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All
right.
Well, I'm glad we moved this back to 4 o'clock.
That's right. That was your move.
We're going to start showing.
Yeah, that's right. Because my A's still had it at 4:30.
I got more time to talk. We got more time to talk now. Maybe we should go to 3:30.
We're starting 7:30.
Why not?
Maybe we should set a separate day. Anybody busy on Saturdays?
good luck with that.